All right, so we are in Genesis chapter 22. Pastor Al said we got till 10:35 today, right? Sorry. So we left off around verse 8-ish. But if you guys don't mind, I'd like to kind of go back to verse 1 and then we'll pick up from there. Amen. And I'm just going to read from verse 1. And it says, Genesis 22, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offerings and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Amen. Catch your breath. So, as we read this, and we go back and we think about Abraham's journey, right? I know, Brother Fawaz, we kind of recapped a little bit 2 weeks ago. I keep wanting to say last week. 2 weeks ago. But we see his journey, and for me personally, this journey that Abraham goes through, that we're reading that he's going through, has really ministered to me on a personal note. Right? Just the stuff that he's going through, the tests, the challenges, the trials, the things that the Lord asks of him, right? Just everything that he goes through. I mean, it's amazing when you think of it, the stuff we've read, the stuff we've gone through, right? From leaving this new land, right? Pick up, leave your family and go, right? He takes a detour to Egypt, right? So we see as he's going through this journey, as we see as he's going through his life, right? Sometimes as we go through our lives, right, we don't always make the right mistake. Right? Anybody make all the right mistakes all the time? Anybody? Huh? The right mistakes or the wrong answers? Right? Anybody do that before? Right? Right? We make these choices. We make the right decisions, right mistakes, wrong decisions. However you want to say it. I just want to throw you off a little bit. Right? But we make these decisions as we go, and we make good decisions, we make wrong decisions, right? We fall on our face sometimes. Sometimes we go and we say, yeah, that was a good one, high five each other, right? But in life, as we're going, we're learning as well, right? We see that Abraham, as he's going in his life, in this journey, he's learning some things, right? And we see, as we've talked before, about faith. Right? He's a hero of the faith, right? I might be jumping a little bit, but he made the Hall of Fame. I call Hebrews 11 the Hall of Fame, right? He's in the Hall of Fame of faith, right? It talks about Abraham and what he did and all the heroes of faith, right? All the patriarchs, it says, right? So we see that in his journey, he's gone through some stuff, but he went believing in God, right? Believing in what? In the promise, right? We know the promise, right? And you're gonna have a son, right? And we see the challenges. How can we have a son? We're old, right? The womb of my wife is dead. There's no way we're gonna do this. This is impossible, right? A lot of times in our lives, we've seen that we've had a lot of impossibilities, right? Some of us can come up here and share stories, and we have till 10:30 anyway, so we're gonna do it. No, I'm kidding. But a lot of times we can share these stories of, yeah, this was impossible, and then God moved, right? And then suddenly God moved, right? And then God moved on my behalf, and God helped me here. God rescued me here, right? We see God's hand move, right? And not only we see God's hand move, but we also see God bring peace, bring comfort, bring strength. Whatever is needed at the time, we've seen God move in that area, right? He went, he left, and then we see the issue with his nephew, right? Lot gets him in trouble, makes him go and fight kings, right? But we see everything that he goes through in this journey, ups and downs, tests, trials, right? As we see as he goes, we see the story of Ishmael, right? Where he says, here, take my concubine, right? Lay with her. We're going to try to rearrange this plan, and we talked about that, how, you know, we try to take it in our own strength, and we try to figure out on our own, right? I know, God, you want to do this, but I got my own plan, right? Or, right, let me step away a little bit. I got a better plan, right? Some of us have made that mistake, right? That is definitely the wrong mistake, right? But we say, God, here, I got a better way to do this, right? This better way is easier for me. Right? Not every test may be easy for the flesh. It's not supposed to be. Right? It's supposed to challenge us. It's supposed to help us grow. And as we see in the life of Abraham, right? He's going through this journey, starting off from a point where he just said, hey, pick up and go. Not knowing what's going on. Not knowing this, right? He receives the promise, and we see the promise come forth as he goes through. Right, we see as he has Ishmael, right, and then he has to let him go. Right, you guys remember that? He has Ishmael, and God says, let him go. And we talked about how, you know, what is in our life, and it really ministered to me, right, that are things in our lives that have lived with us, right, that we've raised, that we've fed, that we've had actually thought to be something normal as a part of our life. Right? It could even be an attitude. It could be a way we are. Anybody ever tell you, that's just the way I am and I'm not going to change? Right? Anybody say that before? Don't raise your hand. Right? Right? We may ask somebody and they say, well, that's just who I am and I'm not going to change. Right? And yeah, I know I'm a Christian now, but that's just who I am. Right? And they're just not allowing God to move. Right? And there are things that you've had them and part of your life, and you think it's normal, and you think, wow, this is just the way I am, this is the way I've been. And God is saying, no, you got to let that go, right? And now we read this, and we hear Isaac, and 2 weeks ago we talked about how it states right there, the one whom you love, right? When he tells him to go sacrifice Isaac, he goes, the one who you love, right? Now he loved Ishmael, that's his own son, right? He says, let that go, but he tells him, let him go. But I'm going to take care of this, right? So it kind of made it easy, right? Hey, let this go, right? You've had this as part of your life. Let it go, and I'm going to take care of it, right? So it makes it easier for us, right? Okay, I'll let it go. It's still going to be down the street, right? It'll still be next door. It'll still be when I go to work. It'll still be there wherever, right? I'll let it go on Sundays, right? I'll let it go on Wednesdays and Sundays, right? So we think, I'm just going to let this go, maybe when Pastor Al's around only, right? I'll let it go, right? And God's saying, let it go. But now he's taking him to another test, another level, another challenge. Now he says, okay, the one you love, kill it, right? Kill it. Are you willing to kill it, right? to let go the thing you love, right? It went from let it go to now the thing you love. Are you willing to die to the flesh, right? Are you willing to kill it, right, for God, right? The things, right? That's just who I am, right? That's just who I am. No, God says let those things go, right? Let those things go. Are you willing? So we see the test, each test getting more challenging, each test getting even harder, right? We try to put ourselves in these shoes, and we try, or these sandals, and we say to ourselves, right, there's no way I'm killing my son, right? And thank God that we don't have to sacrifice our children, right? We may want to shake them hard sometimes, but thank God that we don't have to sacrifice our children. Jesus already did the ultimate sacrifice. Amen? And we thank the Lord for that, right? But we see here that this next test, right, which is a picture, if you will, or a symbol of the Father and Jesus, right? The sacrifice, right? Where the Father gives up the Son, and the Son is willing, right? And it's a picture, it's an illustration of Jesus dying on the cross for us, dying on Mount Carmel, which was Calvary, right? He carried the wood, carried the burdens of the world, right? He carried them up for us, died for us. And so this was a picture of illustration of what Christ was to do for us years to come. Amen? This was the picture. He even says, I see the wood, I see this, but where is the lamb? Right? So Isaac is asking, he says, where is the lamb? And he says, the Lord will provide for us the lamb, right? For the sacrifice. Right? Isaac knows, hey, something's missing here. Something is just not right here. Right? We got this. I'm seeing all the components for a sacrifice, but yet I'm not seeing, right, the lamb. And Abraham says, he'll provide. Right? He'll provide. We know that John the Baptist, when he sees Jesus, he says, what did he say? Behold, the Lamb of God who what? Takes away the sins of the world. Amen? He says, there's the lamb. Right? There's Jesus. Right? And as we read, as they go later on, right? He's about to kill Isaac. He gets stopped, and there's a ram, right? So the sacrifice is provided. Amen? But we see here a couple things as we read here. I mean, some stuff that just stood out for me that kind of make you think a little bit. But you think about the relationship between Abraham and his son, right? Now, Isaac, now it doesn't really say, or I couldn't really find exactly how old he was. I saw some people were saying he's a teenager. Some people he said I heard was 30 years old, right? But he wasn't a toddler, I know that much, right? He was not a baby that he just carried the baby and he didn't tell his wife. We talked about that a couple, right? He didn't want to tell her, right? She probably would have stopped everything right there. But he wasn't. He was old enough to carry the stuff, to know what's going on, right? So it kind of makes you think that the son, he sees what's happening and it says that he bound him, tied him. He was going to, right? But never does it say, never do I see that he put up a fight, right? That he put up a fight, that he resisted, that he ran away from him. He had to chase him all around the mountain or nothing, right? The son was willing, right? He was obedient to the father, right? Kind of makes you think of the relationship of the father and the son had, right? Of the life, like I said, I don't know exactly how old, but maybe a teenager. But it kind of makes you think, right, of the son not fighting, not resisting, right? My story with my son would have been, oh, he ran around the mountain and Mike had to go chase him around, right, for 2 days, couldn't find him, right? But it kind of makes you think of the relationship. He didn't put up a fight. He was willing, even though he knew what was going on. He knew that a sacrifice was needed, right? He knew, hey, where's the sacrifice? Something is not right, but yet it says, he just says he bound him, right? Tied him up. Amen? So he says something's happening here, right? We see another thing, that in the beginning it says God called Abraham. And Abraham said, here I am, right? And one of the things that makes me think about this is, what if Abraham wasn't paying attention? Right? What if he wasn't listening? Right? What if he wasn't making the time to communicate with God? Spending time, right? Having that relationship with the Lord. Right? He was going and he says, Abraham, here I am. What if you didn't listen? Right? This door can open up so many avenues. But it just makes you think, right? What if he wasn't listening? Or when he told him the plan, he said, God, you're crazy. I'm not doing this. Right? He says, and then he tells him, go to a specific area. Go to this place. Right? So not only was he listening, but he was prepared to receive instructions and to follow through with those instructions. Right? He was ready to go through with all that. Right? But if he wasn't listening, if we're not listening, right? If we're not spending our time with the Lord, we can't say, or we may say, oh, I don't hear God. I don't hear the Lord. But yet we're not spending the time to listen, right? Even after he binds them and he's ready to commit the act, right? His name is called out twice. Abraham, Abraham, what if right there he's not listening? No, Lord, I'm doing something for you. Do not interrupt me, right? I'm sorry, right? I'm busy right now. God, I'm doing your will, right? And God wants to talk to him, right? The Lord wants to speak to us, right? When does he want to speak to us? Open up your Bible, right? He wants to speak to you, right? Somebody comes up and shares a message. The Lord wants to speak to us. The Lord speaks to us in many different ways, right? Just somebody on the street, you talk to them. Different ways the Lord may speak to us, right? We may just see something and the Lord speaks to us, right? Just recently, we went on a trip. And the Lord speak to me, ministered me in a great way, where we were blown away by some big old mountains, big old beautiful mountains, and we were like in awe of these mountains. And I mean, I don't want to take away from that moment, but then I looked at a map, and I saw that in the map, that mountain is just a little strip of land in this great world that the Lord created, right? And it kind of ministered to me, and it just reminded me of how great the Lord is, right? How we're blown away by this piece of land, which was awesome, right, in my eyes. But how much greater the Lord is, right? You see these things, and we need to be reminded, right? We need to make the time, right, to listen to the Lord. We need to make the time to hear from Him. Amen? So we see these things, and you think, what if, in my mind, maybe I'm just weird like that. What if he would have not answered? Right? What would have happened? I mean, right? That wasn't God's plan. But, you know, you start thinking these things. Right? What if he would have gone, ah, that place is too far. Right? I'm just going to go to this place. Right? Lord, you want me to go here. That place is just too weird, too difficult. I don't understand your plan. I'm going to do this. Right? We need to be obedient to what the Lord says. Right? We need to be obedient to what the Lord has for us. Amen? Abraham shows us that we're not always perfect. I think we know that. Right? We make these mistakes. Sometimes we think we're following the Lord and we realize, uh-oh, that was a dead end. Right? But the Lord is watching over us. Amen? The Lord calls, Mike, Mike. As he called Abraham, Abraham, right? And we need to be ready to listen, ready to receive what the Lord has for us, right? He was committing the act and he still was able to hear. And after that, it was stopped, right? He got his son. He was able to get his son back, right? And there was the provision was there, right? There was a ram right there. It was something that he can just go and grab and replace. Amen? So he provided. He said, God is going to provide. Amen? He said, God is going to provide. God is going to meet our need when we go there. He said, don't worry. This is what God promised me. This is where God led me. And I just know God is going to move. Right? Each test seems hard. Each test seems tougher. Each test seems more challenging. Right? But each test brings us closer to the Lord. Amen. It's great at the end of the trial. It's great at the end of the test, where we're able to take either take a step back or our eyes are open and we see, wow, God, we're there, right? Sometimes we may not see the Lord there, right? When we're going through something, when something's happening, and we're able to see, wow, God, you were there the whole time. Or we see, God, you were actually helping me. God, you actually got me out of that, right? It's awesome at the end. It's not as fun during, right? None of us really like it, enjoy it. Some of us may not even know we're going through that challenge or the test at the time, right? We're just living our life. We're going through it. But we need to be able to be receptive to what the Lord has for us, right? And we need to be obedient to what the Lord is telling us. Make time for the Lord, right? In James 1:3, these tests says that we count it all joy, right? Count it all joy when? Does anybody know? When you go through the trials, right? When you go through the testing of your faith produces patience, it says. James 1:3, right? It says, count it all joy when you go through various trials. So when you go through these problems, smile. No. Count it joy. Count it all joy because something is happening. I know it's tough, right? Don't tell me to smile when I'm going through this. I want to hit you in the face. Right? But it says, count it all joy when you go through these trials. Why? Because this testing of your faith produces patience. Right? Anybody ever seen a patient person or know a patient person? Aren't they annoying? Right? Hurry up, let's go, right? You see them in the freeway and they're just loving life and they're in the fast lane going 65. How dare they? Don't they know that's the 85 and over lane? And they have peace. They know where they're going. They know they got up early enough to make it there in time, no matter what's ahead of them, right? They have joy, right? And we're over here all mad because, don't you know, I got 5 minutes before I start? But it produces patience, right? It produces patience. Patience is peace, knowing God is in control, right? Just knowing God is in control. But don't you realize everything is upside down around you, right? The waves were turning and the waves were tossing and Jesus was taking a nap, right? Disciples, they were up, what's wrong with this guy? We're about to die and you're taking a nap, right? Peace. Got up and told the waves to shut up in the storm. Calm them down, right? But we see people like that and they bug us sometimes. Why? Because we may not be there, right? Oh, yes, I got in this line at the grocery that has 10 people ahead of me. Beautiful. I love it. Right? The testing of your faith produces patience, right? Patience, very important in our lives. Patience, that we're not in a hurry, right? You want me to go all the way up to the mountain to sacrifice my son? How about I just do it right here? I don't have time to go all the way up there and do it, right? The Lord gave you instructions and we need to follow them to the T, right? He needed to follow them to the T, right? Go to this specific place. Do this specific act, right? How about the two servants I got? How about I take one of them? Sacrifice one of these guys, right? Just know that God is in control, right? The testing of your faith produces patience. Romans chapter 5. Verse 3, 4, and 5 read like this. Says, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not what? Disappoint. Amen? This produces something. Something is happening in us. Something was happening in the life of Abraham as he's going through his journey. Right? He went to, I'm supposed to go to this land. Oh, there's a famine. Let me take a detour over here because I don't know if I'll survive here, right? And say you're my sister and all these different things. We see the shortcomings in his life, but we also see the great moments in his life, right? They're producing something. So much so that he gets to this point where he says, Lord, I'm going to take my son and sacrifice him. Right? At that point is when you want to tell Abraham, you're out of your mind. Right? Are you sure you're talking to God? Right? Are you sure this is God you've been talking to the whole time? You want him to kill your only son and whom you love. It says, right? You want to kill that one. And then you've been telling me about a promise about through him, right? You're going to multiply. And there's going to be a great nation of people, great multitude of people. And you're saying now you're going to take him and kill him? That's totally against the plan that God has for you. Right? I'm glad he just listened to the Lord and then acted on it. Right? He just said, I'm doing it. Right? He would have counseled somebody and his wife would have told him no. Right? That's what it says. Remember, he woke up early in the morning. Before she woke up, it left it out right there. But woke up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, right? And they left, right? And he told the two guys, you guys stay here, me and the lad are going to go, right? But we see these things are producing something. They're producing patience, perseverance, character, hope. And hope does not disappoint. Now, hope in who? Hope in God, hope in the Lord, hope in Jesus. Right? And we know he's done it before. He can do it again. Amen? It gives us hope. I've seen it in my life. He's gone through this and I've seen it. He's rescued me. He's helped me. He's going to do it again. Right? He took me with my trained servants and we beat those kings. Man, he's the God of victory. Right? And he sees us in each step, each test that he's gone through is producing something in his life. Even the ones that he didn't pass, he learned a lesson. Right? Even the ones that we don't pass, we learn a lesson. Right? And when we take that test again, right, we know the answers. Or we know the answer. Amen? We know where the hope is. Right? And it's producing these things. These tests are producing. In our life, we go through and we learn what God did for us, which is we receive salvation. We learn that he died for us, that he shed his blood for us, and we now have repentance, right? And he forgives us. And then we start growing and we start to learn what God does in us. He transforms us, transforms our mind, transforms our vocabulary. We don't longer say, well, that's just who I am and that's who I'm going to be, right? No, we say, Lord, I am willing. You transform me, right? Lord, I am willing. I am open. My heart is open to you. May your will be done, right? And then we go and we see what God can do through us, right? You meet somebody out there. You pray for them, right? You lead them to the Lord, right? And you get inspired and it brings hope. You say, God, you're moving. God, you're real, amen? And we start to see God, the hand of God work in us, through us, around us. And it produces a hope. It produces a fire. It produces an excitement. Right? It produces this love, this passion we have to want to know more, to want to search him more, to want to seek him more, to want to draw closer, to have this relationship that, you know what, your will be done, Lord, whatever it is. Now, here's what the amazing part is. To me, at least. Abraham went, took his son, sacrificed him. And I'm going to jump real quick if it's all right. Thank you. Hebrews, I'm going to read chapter 11. We're going to go to the Hall of Fame. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 17 through 19. And it reads like this. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, In Isaac your seed shall be called. concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Amen. It says here that he was able to do this because he had concluded that even if I sacrifice Isaac, God's going to raise him from the dead. Right? It says there in Hebrews 11, as we read. Right? Now, he already had seen a type of resurrection, if you will. He had seen a life, right? A life of birth from a dead womb. Right? Something that was dead, no more life, old age, the womb is dead, and then life come out of that. Right? And he knows, and he saw God move in that way. And he knows God was able to bring life through this situation. Right? God brought life through this situation. And this faith that he has here is so amazing that he says, I'm going to take him up. And even if I kill him, God's going to raise him from the dead. That's just crazy. That's awesome, amazing faith. Right? I'm going to follow God's plan. And he concluded that your promise is still that through him, the seed is going to come forth. So if you allow me to go through this, you're going to bring him from the dead. Right? That's where he was at. Through this life that he had lived, through this, right, trials that produced this character, this hope, and hope does not disappoint. And that promise had given him hope. And he says, no, you're going to go through this. Your word, your promise was this. Through his seed, right? Through his seed is where the descendants come. And it says in Hebrews that he had the faith that even if, why? Because he already had seen a form of the of resurrection, right? He saw the birth of Isaac. He saw Isaac grow to the sacrifice, about to sacrifice him. Like I said, it was an illustration of Jesus, but he didn't have to kill his son. God provided, right? But he saw, he had the faith. And you say, man, that faith, I don't know if I can ever get to it. That's crazy faith. You're asking me for too much, right? Well, let's just have faith, right? Have faith in God. That tomorrow when you wake up, he's going to be there. He is there, right? Let's have faith that he's going to be with you at work. When you go to work tonight, God is with you, right? And you just know he's with you. He's helping you, right? He's going to be with you. He's going to guide you. Right? A lot of times we got to surround ourselves with faith. Read the word of faith. Amen? Read the Bible. That's your word of faith. Right? Surround yourself with people who are going to speak life into you. Right? Bible says in Proverbs, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Right? There's people out there that are... Anybody like negative people? Nobody likes negative people. Right? Oh, look at what a beautiful day. Yeah, but it's 90. Let me just enjoy this day, please. Right? We like to talk about, there's a famous story that we have in our family of somebody buying a black car. Brand new black car. And that person was happy. Right? We bought this black car and somebody came and says, oh, but black, it's going to get scratched right away. Steal the joy right away. Just let me enjoy my car, please. There's people out there that want to steal your faith. We know ultimately who wants to steal your faith. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy, and that's the devil. Right? That's his mission. Right? Stop the work of God in your life. Right? And he wants to cancel this hope. He wants to cancel this faith. Right? As you're growing in faith, he wants to stop the work of God in your life. Right? I thank God that in the name of Jesus, he is greater because he lives in you. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? And I thank God for that. That he is greater and he has defeated the grave. He has defeated the enemy already. And he has given us the authority. Amen? In the name of Jesus. But there's people out there that want to remove, that want to steal the joy, they want to cancel our faith. And we don't have time to read it all, but write it down. Mark chapter 5, there's a story of Jesus believe it's, if I'm saying it right, Jairus, right? And his daughter, he says she's sick. She's about to die, right? And they're on their way. And he says, please come. And they're on their way. And on their way is the story that we know, it's famous, with the woman of the issue of blood, right? So we see that Jesus was on his way to do one thing. So to that person, that was the important thing, right? My daughter, she's about to die. And they say, as he's going through, the woman comes with the issue, touches the hem of the garment. We know the story. She gets healed. But after all that happens, great miracle, awesome. Then the news comes in to the man. Says, hey, your daughter just died. They're like, don't even bother him anymore. Right? And he hears these words. And he says, do not fear, only believe. Right? He turns to the man and says, do not fear, only believe. Now, when he goes, and his part I want to get to, and we'll start to wind it down. Yes, we got 2 more hours. I'm kidding. And that clock says 6. But anyways, as he gets there, he says there's people there, and they say she's dead already. And it says that they ridicule him. They mock him. There's so much unbelief there. You know what he does? Kicks them out. Says, you guys, get out of the house. Right? He removes doubt. Says, get out of the house. And only us believers, we're going to go in. Right? And he says, little girl, arise. Right? And she's brought back to life. Right? He removed doubt. Right? There's people around our lives, maybe households, that bring doubt. Right? Lord, give us wisdom on how to handle that. What to do. Right? On what to do, what to say. Maybe give me a new spot to take lunch. Whatever it may be. Right? But there's so much doubt out there, and it wants to cancel this faith. And in our life, as we're growing in the Lord, right, he's building character, and we're learning, and we're growing, right? Some easy ones, some tough trials, some, right? But we're growing, and the Lord's showing himself through all these things. Some are pleasing, like I said, some are not as pleasing, right? But the Lord is there, and he's helping us, and is producing this faith, this hope, right? And as I said, hope does not disappoint, right? He goes on after he gets stopped. And the rest of the verses, I'll try to go a little quicker. 15 on through 19, I believe it was. Sorry. Yeah, 15 through 19. He gets stopped. And the angel says, because I saw this. Because I see now. Wait, let me give it. I'm not doing it as justice. Let me just read it real quick. Sorry. Says the angel of the Lord, sorry, says, and Abraham lifted the eyes and looked, and behind was the ram in the thicket. So he called the place the Lord will provide, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessings, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. Amen. After that, he got stopped, and he says, because I see that you put the Lord first over everything, your family, right? What happens? The blessing got reaffirmed. The promise came back up, reaffirmed. Blessing, I will bless you, right? The descendants are going to be this big, this many, this great, right? Because I see that you have placed the Lord first above all. Amen? The Lord wants to be first in our lives, right? And I know maybe it's not as easy as, you know, easier said than done, as they say, right? But we need to get to a place where he is first in our lives, right? No matter what. It's tough. There's different areas, and the Lord's working on each and every one of us, I know, right? But in those areas, we need to be willing to allow the Lord to do His work in those areas, right? And just trust that God's going to build something. See, at that place, Abraham met God in another way. And he met Jehovah Jireh there, right? He met God will provide. He had faith that God was going to provide. And in that, up there, he saw the ram, and he met Jehovah Jireh. God will provide there. In our lives, we're going to meet God in different ways. He's going to meet us on the road as we need it. And we're going to start to get to know God in a more intimate way, right? And the one last key that I want to say, I want to end this, is that in all this being obedient to the Lord, he called it one thing, which is so amazing. He said, we're going to go worship. When he told the men, he said, stay here. Me and the son, we're going to go worship. He knew what was going to happen. He knew he was about to kill his son. And he called it worship, right? He called it worship to please God, right? And that's just amazing. That's just amazing, and it almost seems like, wow, I don't know if anybody can get to that level. But it's not about levels. Just have faith in God, right? God gives everyone a measure of faith, right? Just worship the Lord, love the Lord. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Give you honor and glory, Lord. Thank you once again for your word, Lord. We thank you once again for your great, wonderful and marvelous love, Lord. Father God, we pray you continue to help us, guide us, strengthen us on our journey, Lord. Father God, that the faith increase, Lord. Doubt, fear, decrease, Lord. We bind it now in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we just thank you, Lord. Your love shower us. Your love be with us, Father God. Blessings for everyone here, Lord. Every household represented, Lord. We just thank you. Give you honor and glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, we can stop now.